Lecture 14, Revolution in Central Europe.
Hello. In this second lecture devoted to the revolutions of 1848, we're going to follow the revolution across the Rhine and across the Alps, mostly to German Central Europe, to trace the developments of the revolution, which in Central Europe took on a very different cast than they had in France, revolutionary developments had in France. Because in Central Europe, not only were the liberal revolutionaries determined to abolish repressive conservative government and to establish some sort of liberal constitutional regime, they also hoped to create a national state. Here one sees the impact of nationalism on the course of liberal politics in the 19th century. The revolutions in 1848 would be the first, as we've already suggested, that would be European-wide. And unlike 1789, unlike 1830, the sparks of revolution flew into Central Europe and indeed produced a conflagration. In Vienna, the seat of the Habsburg monarchy and the residence of Clemens von Metternich, who had put his stamp on this entire era from 1815 to 1848, revolution erupted with enormous elan. Students, workers, artisans all surged into the streets. Moderate property owners angered at the prices, angered at the inability of the government to deal with the mounting economic crisis, again linked to the bad harvest of 1846 and 1847. The Habsburg monarchy was overwhelmingly an agrarian society, and so the impact of that of those two harvests was considerable. Metternich himself drew the conclusions. He was always, he felt, a realist, drew the conclusions very quickly. He fled Vienna, escaped Austria, and wound up living in exile in Britain. The emperor took refuge in Innsbruck and promised the constitution. But, and it's an important point, the emperor did not abdicate. Power was simply handed over to a provisional government in Vienna, a provisional liberal government in Vienna, a provisional government that in its haste to establish order in the city and in its haste to begin drafting a constitution that would establish the Habsburg monarchy on a liberal basis, made the mistake of not seizing control either of the imperial bureaucracy or of the army. So the liberals in Vienna focus certainly on the city, but they don't really take the steps. They don't purge the civil service. They don't purge the army. They don't create an alternative to the army. And although the Habsburg imperial family leaves the city and moves to Innsbruck, they've not abdicated. There still is the potential for their return. They've promised a constitution. Outside Vienna, the revolution would erupt in Italy, in Hungary, in Bohemia. In each case, not only demands for constitutional reform, constitutional government, but some recognition of nationality. Nationality would become the principle here. In Italy, the provinces of Lombardy and Venetia, given to Austria in 1815, demanded independence from the Habsburgs and also hoped to see some sort of linkage with Sardinia-Piedmont. In fact, and we'll talk about this when we talk in our lecture on the unification of Italy in some detail, the Kingdom of Sardinia-Piedmont, the only native Italian monarchy, royal family in the entire Italian peninsula, declared war on the Habsburgs not once but twice in the course of 1848-49 in an attempt to dislodge the Habsburgs from Italy. In Hungary, revolution also erupted. Hungarian rebels demanding autonomy within the Habsburg monarchy and some sort of liberal constitution. The Hungarian revolutionaries were led by a man named Louis Kossuth. And Kossuth was determined to see some form of liberal constitutional arrangement. He wasn't yet talking about an independent Hungary. I think this is an interesting point. Not an independent Hungary, but a Hungary with some form of autonomy within this Habsburg monarchy. So the great leap toward national independence is not made. No determination to destroy the Habsburg monarchy. This seemed impossible. It had existed for so many years. But